the first. It always seems to be something significant or important about the first. Whether it's your first day of school, I can always remember as growing up, my mom always lined my sister and I in front of a particular picture in the living room. And as we were waiting for the bus to come to pick us up, mom had to take a picture of us on the first day of school. And it was kind of interesting, that kind of routine went all the way till just about, I guess, a senior in high school. Even, I think, from where I left for college. But those particular firsts, right? First day of school, first job that you get, first paycheck that you got, right? First date that you went on, maybe first class or particular exam that you failed. Particular firsts in life, right? Many different firsts that take place. Today we hear Jesus' first miracle, right? Many times Jesus' miracles seem to be very personal, very connected with healing. Maybe somebody is blind, or somebody has leprosy, or somebody is has a broken arm or other particular limb that is malformed. And Jesus tends to personally heal them. But some of Jesus' miracles, definitely like feeding of the 5,000, even today that we hear, how he transforms simple water into wine, kind of really gives a beautiful beginning to Jesus' public ministry as he begins to perform particular miracles, which kind of shows some particular things that Jesus, as he enters into his ministry, comes to restore humanity. He comes to complete what had begun. He came to restore what was broken and lost to sin. He came to unify and to bring particular people back together. Just almost imagine that if they had actually run out of wine at that particular wedding, many people might have left, or the party was over. Maybe particular people would have looked down on this particular couple. Jesus, again, restores the reputation of this particular couple and the family. Pretty sure everybody was there from the town, even from neighboring towns. Jesus and his mother were there. And Jesus, in maybe a way that, again, not many people knew or realized, Jesus saves the day. He saves us. And even many times in our own lives, in ways that we don't necessarily recognize. So I think it's important for a couple of different things to think about and reflect on. Is number one, is maybe the most important part, is who we invite into our life. Maybe that couple didn't necessarily know Jesus or his family, but he had been invited to the wedding by him being present there, and even prompted by his mother, he performs his first miracle. I've said this before in a homily, and I think it's definitely worth repeating, is these particular words of Mary are actually the last recorded words that Mary says in the gospel. And it says, do whatever he tells you. I think this is very profound for us, and maybe enough that we need to hear. Do whatever he tells you. Probably biblical words that we could repeat over and over again in our own life each day. Do whatever the Lord tells us. Do wherever he leads us. I think it's kind of interesting, I guess, even just watching my own parents and my sister and brother-in-law, and sometimes other those who are married, and even sometimes, too, it's funny, it's sometimes very hard to listen to people whom we love. Sometimes very hard to listen to people whom we even trust. And so even, too, I hope and I pray that you never doubt the Lord. That you never not listen to what he is telling or inviting you into. And to really just to reflect, and if it is God and he has created you and made you and desires to transform you, to complete you, to restore your life from sin and brokenness, why would you not do whatever he tells you if he is able to save and to transform and to purify our particular lives? So for you, maybe I would encourage a reflection on being those particular stone jars, maybe seeing that as our own life, and just being open to whatever God desires to do for us today. Let the Lord transform the simpleness of our own lives into something very beautiful. That there really is inviting God to be in our life. And number two, it's being open to do whatever he tells us and allowing and giving him permission to transform our lives, to turn our simple human flesh into something very beautiful and very divine, after his own divinity. In our own lives, allowing this to happen. Lord, today as I begin this day, I invite you to be part of my life, and I give you permission to transform my life. I'm recognizing that throughout this day, there are probably going to be some things lacking. There's probably going to be some particular things that I'm going to forget about. There are probably going to be some particular things today that I will stick my foot in my mouth. There will be some things today that I didn't plan for and I'm very uncertain of. Lord, I want you to be there in those particular times throughout this day to use me, to restore me, to transform me, to pick up the particular pieces that I forget, or to heal the particular moments that I hurt others, or that others hurt me. How can I actively invite the Lord and give him permission to transform my life? Can I give him permission to use me and to restore me and to forgive me? For all of our married couples who are here, whatever vocation that God has called you or entered you into, I think it's kind of interesting just as life goes, sometimes we maybe forget why we entered into marriage, what brought us together to the other person, what attracted me to you, and vice versa. Why are we here in this particular marriage? Maybe, too, I think this happens even in our own faith, our own daily life. Why am I still working this particular job? Why do I still come to church every Sunday? Why do I desire to follow the Lord, or why do I feel drawn to that? What led you to the other person, right? What did you delight in them? What did they delight in you? And I hope and I pray that you recognize that those particular things are still there. The things that you delighted in the other, the beginning of your courtship, your relationships, even today, are still real. They're still alive. I encourage you to notice them and still continue to delight in your spouse and to let them delight in you. Just as we heard very beautifully in that first reading, God delights in us and he wants to marry us. He wants to enter into a relationship with us. Now, sometimes we might say, well, I don't know if I want to marry the Lord. Or maybe somebody, well, been there, done that. I don't want to do that again. But a realization, the vulnerability that comes from entering into a marriage, a relationship, a dying to self, but allowing us to be delighted in and delighting in the other. And really at the core of marriage, really at the core of our relationship, is that with God, is that he recognizes that there is something very beautiful here that many times we do not recognize. Sometimes we don't even know is there. But that is what God delights in. He delights in us being who we are. And honestly, if you were to reflect in your own marriage, is that hopefully you recognize that you got married to the other person because they were who they were. And you fell in love with them being themselves and not just putting on airs or trying to be something that they weren't. But you fell in love with them, with that person. And how God, too, falls in love with us as who we are, the people he has created us. And sometimes we forget who we are. We even forget those particular things that we can even delight in our own selves. Very beautifully, as God and Jesus enter into and break into our own world, they desire to bring joy. They desire to bring delight. They desire to restore. And many times to allow that to happen means that we have to let go of some particular things. And sometimes have to remember some things. Remember that we are delightable. Remember and recognize that maybe there have been bigger sins and events that have happened in our life that have tainted our view of ourselves or even of the other, of our spouse. So asking the Lord, Lord, renew in me the realization that you delight in me and want to be married to me. May I recognize that I am delightable and that you can find delight in me and that I can also find delight in myself and in others. So as we continue and begin to on this journey with the Lord, so we're going to be hearing the next few weeks some of Jesus' first miracles, first interactions with sicker people, people hearing about him and learning about him and coming to believe in him and trust in him. I hope and I pray that you may also continue to grow in your desire and your curiosity to know the Lord in a new and a deeper way throughout this year. That you may continue to grow in a trust to invite the Lord each day to be part of your life, and that you may have an openness Lord, I am open to whatever you want to do in my life. Continue to restore me, continue to complete me, and continue to unify me to your family in heaven.